I'm reading this morning from Acts 10, verses 34 through 43. Opening his mouth, Peter said, "I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality, but in every nation, the man who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him. The word which he sent to the sons of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know the thing which took place throughout all Judea, starting from Galilee, after the baptism which John proclaimed. You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was in him. We are witnesses of all the things he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They also put him to death by hanging him on a cross. God raised him up on the third day and granted that he become visible, not to all the people, but to witnesses who were chosen beforehand by God, that is, to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he ordered us to preach to the people and solemnly to testify that this is the one who has been appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. Of him all the prophets bear witness that through his name, everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins." This is the word of the Lord.
The gospel reading this morning comes from Mark chapter 16. This is it is the shortest rendering of the story of the resurrection. And it ends rather abruptly, more abruptly than you can see in an English translation. It's very staccato because, he wants to draw us farther into the story. But we have to stay tuned. Let's listen to the story. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, brought spices so that they might come and anoint him. Very early on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. They were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" Looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, although it was extremely large. Entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting at the right, wearing a white robe, and they were amazed. And he said to them, "Do not be amazed. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who has been crucified. He has risen. He is not here. Behold, here is the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." They went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had gripped them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Lord, the note of fear bothers us. Why should we be afraid on such a glad day? But when we look within our hearts, we know that there are fears in us, fears that are yet to be liberated through the presence of your Son. And so we want to submit to that process right now, Lord. We want your Holy Spirit to lead us in the ways of truth. That's why we're here. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. empty. Ominous, isn't it? It's usually considered a bad thing. And full, that's good. Right? I mean, think about it. A full tank looks a lot better than that needle. How about a full belly? Does that feel good? Not always. A full pantry, that feels good. There's plenty of food on the shelves. A full offering plate. How about it, Andy? Yeah, he likes it. A full cup of coffee. A full house. Now I'm talking about the card game. But sometimes it's neat having a full house of people too. In many ways, full is good. It's very good. And yet, this morning, especially relating to this piece of scripture, we might ponder how fullness might get in the way of something that God wants to do. Because full means that every need is met. Every fear is silenced. Every obstacle is overcome. That all sounds pretty good. But full also means there's no more room. I mean, haven't you gotten to the place when you've eaten a meal and the dessert tray comes around? And you say, oh, it all looks so good, but I can't do it. There's no room. And it actually pains you to send away that rich chocolate cake, you know, death by chocolate. And that's what it would be, because there's just no room. Are you familiar with the expression, he's full of himself? Or she's full of herself. If that's said of me, what does that imply about how much room there is in me for others? Mark's gospel comes to an end, and it's anything but full. It leaves us wanting for more. Put aside all the variant endings. I know you say, well, the Bible says there's a verse 9. Well, not in the most reliable manuscripts. The earliest and most reliable manuscripts stop at verse 8. And all the rest of it, from what we understand, were additions. In fact, there's some of the things that are mentioned in those verses that really should be head scratchers, like handling snakes and drinking poison. Something's wrong there. And when you read verse 8 in the original language, it doesn't end with, for they were afraid. It actually ends mid-sentence. Like, you know, when you get a cliffhanger, you watch one of those movies, you say, what now? And that's what's here. This is a cliffhanger. The story opens with three women who come to the tomb of Jesus feeling very empty. Jesus is dead. And they're wondering how in the world they're going to be able to get that stone away from the mouth, you know, the door of the tomb. After all, it's really big and it's really heavy and it doesn't necessarily roll too easily. Bewildered. Bewildered might be a good word to describe how they're feeling and how we feel when there's so much question in our lives. Bewildered literally means we're forced into a wilderness. That's not usually a happy place to be, is it? We talk about wilderness wanderings. Ever been there? I'm there more than I want to be. I've learned that it's not so bad. But it's not always comfortable. Some writers have called it the dark night of the soul. And God's not absent. God's very present. But when we're there, God's usually doing something. We're not sure where to turn next sometimes. But get this. Easter is for empty, bewildered people. That's what Easter's about. People with a cavernous, empty feeling waiting to taste something good. When I was growing up, I used to help Mrs. Mache with her gardening in the summer. Her backyard, like most of our backyards in Collingdale, were filled with flower beds. I would be out there sweating. I mean, the sweat would be just dripping down my face. And dirt, you know, grimy stuff, you know, mixed with dirt in my hands. You know the feeling. Summertime, when the living is easy, right? And I would start to feel very empty. And Mrs. Mache would come out with a glass of cold water. And as she more than once, as she handed it to me, she reminded me, don't gulp it all at once. Too fast, too much, wasn't good. Like parched ground longs for rain. Too much, too fast does what? It's a gully washer. Anybody that's spent any time in Arizona knows about gully washers. It creates a flash flood. And so that's what we're getting here. Mark gives us the resurrection a little bit at a time. Verse 4, looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, although it was extremely large. Whew, that one's out of the way. That's good. The tomb's open. But once they get inside, there's no body to anoint. And it's eclipsed by this young man. Doesn't say angel, just says a young man in white standing at the right. What must these women have thought? Where's Jesus' body? Back to the wilderness. All these questions. And the young man says, do not be amazed. This Jesus who was crucified, he's risen. He's not here. Look, the place is empty. But you'll see him again. Go to his friends. Remind them about his directions to meet him in Galilee. And what do? It says, they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had gripped them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. There's the cliffhanger. Can you relate to cliffhangers? Had a few of those in your life, maybe experiencing some now? A fear that haunts you? A relationship that you're struggling with, a future that's not certain, kids that are making you crazy. I won't look at any parents right now. A prayer that's still keeping you on your knees and you're waiting for an answer. A business venture that's iffy. Those retirement funds that keep shrinking. Cliffhangers. cliffhangers. We all know about them. And if they're a movie, it makes us think. But we'd rather keep them in the movies and not in our lives. But that's the way it is. There are constantly cliffhangers for us. Do you hear the words in the story? Amazed, fled, trembling, astonishment, afraid. We think the world is full, but not really. It keeps emptying. But Jesus is the Lord of the emptiness. And he calls us to go the distance to Galilee so we can experience more. That's the word of the angel or the young man. You'll see. Do what I tell you. You'll see. Now, maybe you're sitting here today and you're thinking, I don't know about all this. Some of us are pretty convinced, but not everybody. Some of us are skeptics, and that's okay. Your brain might be telling you, this is a fairy tale. This is a fantasy they're talking about. And that's okay if that's the way you feel. But think about this. In your heart of hearts, don't you at least wish it were true? And that's where some people are. Don't you at least wish the story was true? Because if it is, death does not get the final word. And that's good news for a lot of us. Because there's a lot of us seated here and standing here today that have experienced death of some pretty close people to us in this last year. That's a big thing. If the resurrection is true, then it means what it signals is coming our way. When poverty is going to be abolished and wars will cease, when people will no longer behead one another, the shedding of blood stops. Misunderstandings that we have, all forgotten and forgiven. Like, what, would you like that one? Man, I sure would. Cancer and children's hospitals, they're history. They're not needed. Feel the grief? The resurrection of Jesus is the light that breaks the shadow of darkness. That word empty is important because when Paul was writing about Jesus, he used that word. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 7 and 8, we read this. Jesus emptied himself. There it is. Big word in Greek, it's kenosis, the kenosis theory. But it simply means he let go. He made room for us. Taking the form of a slave and being born in human likeness and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death. Even death on a cross. He emptied himself. If there's anybody who has the right to be full of themselves, it's Jesus. But he wasn't. He's our leader. He says, follow me in emptying yourself just as I have, to make room for other people, to make room for a better world. That's what my mission is all about. as followers of Jesus, we get to keep hoping for something better. And with faith, hope, and love, we stand with Jesus, who stands with everyone who feels that emptiness and says, now come with me. Go to Galilee. Make the trek. Do the journey. Then you'll experience me. Do I have to? That's the way it works. Get on the journey. It's a journey of faith. Suppose the disciples said, nope, not doing it. Not everybody experienced the resurrection. When Karen read that passage from Acts chapter 10, it says, not everybody experienced it. But the people who went experienced the risen Christ. And here we are. We're the fruit of that. We're his hands and his feet. There's an old story of a great opera writer, a fellow named Puccini. And he died suddenly before he had a chance to finish his opera, Turandot. A very moving opera, by the way. So one of his fellow composers, Franco Alfano, wrote the two final scenes and completed the story. When the opera premiered at Milan's La Scala Opera House in 1926, Toscanini was the conductor. I mean, talk about name dropping. And when Toscanini got to the place where Puccini had left off, he stopped the performance. And with tears in his eyes, he turned to the audience and announced, "This is where the master ends." And then he turned around again and raised his baton and declared, "And this is where his friends continue." And he concluded the performance. That's Jesus' call to us in this cliffhanger. It's not over. He calls us to finish the story. We're his friends. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your call. Lord, we hear it. And for those, Lord, who are a little hard of hearing, and that could be any one of us, we ask, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would be doing a work, creating an ability to hear something and see your presence, so there might be more people involved in the healing process of this world. So that eternal life is flowing here among us, Lord. That's what we want. And so, Lord, we are your people. And we do celebrate a risen Savior as your light streams into this place and streams through us into a world of shadows made bright by your presence. Thank you, Lord. Amen.